Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. Plenty to get into. And we have a couple of guests lined up. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But for starters, let's take a look at what's happening in the national sports front. We will begin with Major League Baseball. Bad news for the New York Mets. Before the season even begins, it's over for Noah Syndergaard. He has a torn collateral ligament in his pitching elbow, and he will have to undergo Tommy John surgery this week. That's going to keep him out until at least April of 2021. He's 27 years old. He's one of the hardest throwing starting pitchers in baseball. And as far as the arsenal, the amount of pitches that he can go to, one of the deepest in the game. And the Mets had some high expectations going into this season. I mean, when you look at Syndergaard and DeGrom, one of the top five, top six duos that you can throw out on the mound in baseball, especially in the National League. And the health end didn't hold up for Syndergaard now that he's out, more likely until early next summer, which means he's probably not even going to be available to start next season. But he's also the second high-profile pitcher who's going to need Tommy John surgery. Remember, we just talked about Chris Sale with the Boston Red Sox needing that reconstructive surgery. So Syndergaard, who came over to the Mets in 2012, has dealt with some injuries. I mean, it wiped out pretty much his entire 2017 season. It shortened 2018. But again, the Mets rotation this year, I mean, they have Marcus Stroman. They have Steven Matz. They have Rick Porcello. They have Michael Wacha. That's a pretty decent rotation for the New York Mets. So if we do get baseball, there will be no Noah Syndergaard in 2020 for the New York Mets. Let's take a look at some of the other news, the big news, and we're going to talk about this next segment. The Carolina Panthers have released Cam Newton. They could not find a trade partner for him, so it is the end of an era in Carolina. This shouldn't be a surprise. It shouldn't be a shock for anyone. But the fact of the matter is, now that it's happened, you kind of think back and say, wow, it really is the end of an era. We're talking about the best quarterback in franchise history for the Carolina Panthers. At one point in time when he was on his game, you could have made the argument that he was the best quarterback, all-around quarterback in the NFL. Remember, he was the MVP. He was the AP Player of the Year in 2015, and the Panthers went to the Super Bowl. Injuries have played a huge factor in the downfall of Cam Newton. And it is sad because, again, this is a guy that is so unique. I got to see Cam Newton play live once. Biggest quarterback I've ever seen in my life. When he came out of the tunnel for warmups and he had shorts, he had his shorts on with the compression tights underneath, biggest calf muscles out of the field. Right, there are two players I've been amazed from their size seeing live in the NFL. And Ndamukong Suh and Cam Newton. These guys are huge. And I believe that Cam Newton's size and the physical nature that he played the game with is a lot of the reason why Cam Newton suffered injuries and a lot of the reason why he's no longer the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. But where do we go from here? Where's the next stop for Cam Newton? Because there's not enough jobs for the amount of quarterbacks. Jameis Winston, who was just coming off of his rookie deal and coming off a season where he put up top five numbers all time, if we're looking at the positive sides. I understand he had a lot of turnovers, had a lot of interceptions, had a lot of stupid mistakes. But from a yardage statistical standpoint, he was putting up unbelievable numbers. He doesn't have a home. Where does Cam Newton go? We're going to talk about that next segment here on Drive Time Sports. As far as boxing is concerned, some sad news today. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder 3. It will have to be pushed back due to the coronavirus pandemic. This fight was originally scheduled to take place July 18th, but Bob Arum told ESPN today it can't happen. We never really recapped this fight. Tyson Fury took it to Deontay Wilder, ended it in the seventh. But for once, we were talking about a heavyweight boxing fight that had legitimate attention and buying power behind it because we finally had an American heavyweight. We're going to have to wait a little bit longer. This obviously cannot happen on July 18th. We will get Fury Wilder 3. It's just going to be a little bit further down the road, and that may help out Deontay Wilder. Who knows? One more news of note that I forgot to bring up in the NFL, and it does deal with the Carolina Panthers, and we will talk about this. Around the same time that Cam Newton was released, the Carolina Panthers did reach a 2-year agreement with Robbie Anderson. Again, on the show yesterday, we were talking about the best free agent still available. And I mentioned Robbie Anderson. I had him in my top three, top four. He signs a 2-year deal, $12 million in year one, $8 million year two, 2-year deal, $20 million with the Carolina Panthers. He's going to join Matt Rhule. And when you look at what they have on the outside with Teddy Bridgewater, they are gearing up a couple of different options. Anderson had a slow start for the Jets last year, but like the rest of the team, he really picked it up. If he would have just had a decent start to the season, he'd have been a 1,000-yard receiver. He averaged 15 yards per catch and was in the top 20 on yards per catch among qualifying receivers in the NFL. So that's definitely some good news for the Carolina Panthers. It's a new era. It's the Matt Rhule era, and it's Teddy Bridgewater. It's not Cam Newton. So there's no reason why we should be surprised by this news, knowing the amount of money that they threw at Teddy Bridgewater just a couple of weeks ago. But it's still sad to see that Cam Newton no longer has a job, at least for the time being. Could the Denver Broncos be a place for Cam? Is that possible? I think it could. I think he's going to have to be a backup. There's no more jobs left. Even if he was to go to the Chargers, who were a team that apparently the Panthers reached out to, no deal was done. They have Tyrod Taylor, and they seem to be just fine with that. We'll talk more Cam Newton in just a bit. We're also going to talk Major League Baseball on the show today. If you're a fantasy dork like I am, I love fantasy baseball. Fantasy football is okay. I really get into fantasy baseball. We had our fantasy baseball draft over the weekend. It may have just been a fun day. My fantasy draft goes on for like 10 hours. We do an auction draft, NL only. You have to draft 38 players per team. So we're drafting triple and double A players. It may have all been for naught because we may not get Major League Baseball. Fantasy baseball is no good without the real game, right? So what do we do? I do have an alternative for you. We're going to talk video games, and I'm not talking about MLB The Show. We're going to talk about Out of the Park Baseball. COO of that company is going to join us a little bit later as well. Different take on some sports talk right here on Drive Time Sports. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, we're back right after this.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Boscarini.
Life in the fast lane, moving at the speed of life, and I can't slow down. Only got a gallon in the gas tank, but I'm almost at the
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Let's talk NFL football. The big news that broke just a couple of hours ago, the Carolina Panthers have officially released Cam Newton. It's kind of sad to see the end of an era come for Cam when you take a look at the all-time franchise numbers, all-time leader in passing yards and touchdowns and attempts and completions and 300-yard games. And I mean, it's pretty remarkable. I believe he also has the most wins by any quarterback in franchise history as well. So it's kind of sad to see the end of an era for Cam Newton in Carolina. Joining us right now to talk about that, we have Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports. Also, he covers the Carolina Panthers through the USA Today. Antoine, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Yeah, anytime.
I know it's a busy day for you, again, with Cam Newton officially now released, a free agent. He can go anywhere he would like. This is always my thought. We'll see the news break that we should anticipate something like this particular move to happen, but I don't think it ever fully sets in until it actually happens. And when you look at the face of the franchise in Carolina, well, it's been Cam Newton, and it's been Cam Newton for a long time.
Yeah, it's really been. He was drafted number one overall in 2011, coming out of Auburn. Obviously, the Heisman Trophy winner the prior year in 2010, where he helped Auburn win the national championship his only year starting. So, yeah, it was a lot of buzz. North Carolina about Cam Newton. So, yeah, he delivered in a nine-year period, ended up helping them reach the Super Bowl in 2015 before losing to the Broncos. Won the MVP that same year, was even named the number one player in the NFL during that span. But injury just kind of took its toll, to be completely honest. Shoulder injury in 2018 limited his season then. And 2019, his season got ended pretty much before it got started with the Lisfranc injury that limited him to only two games and ended up missing 14 the rest of the year. So, yeah, it's a sad ending, I'm sure, for a lot of people in Carolina. But at the same time, it was definitely a lot of good times there in the Saints' breath as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you go back and really look at the grand scheme of things for Cam Newton in this particular instance, this is a guy that, in my mind, Antoine, he was one of the most difficult players to officiate. In fact, I had made the comparison multiple times here if we were going to use a cross sport. Cam Newton, to me, was the Shaquille O'Neal of the NFL. Because I thought that Cam Newton took a lot of unnecessary hits, and I think based off of his size, and unless you saw Cam Newton play live, watching him on TV never did it justice, right? This guy is a monster. He's got some of the biggest calf muscles I've ever seen for anyone that plays the quarterback position. To me, Cam Newton was the most difficult quarterback to officiate in the NFL, and because of that, he took a lot of unnecessary punishment that I believe has led to this.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, I know you'll get this right, kind of Randall Cunningham.
Yeah.
Cunningham wasn't as big physically, but they both took a lot of unnecessary hits early on in their career. And, you know, you look back on it, they both, especially looking at Randall's career, really shortened his career, to be honest with you. And you kind of say the same thing about Cam Newton as well. And that's probably why he suffered the number of injuries that he has with the two shoulder surgeries and also the Lisfranc foot injury as well. So I definitely think that's why a lot of teams were kind of lukewarm about him. You had the Bears supportedly ask about his services, but I didn't feel like they wanted to give up a lot for him. So they decided, well, you know, we're going to go in a different direction, and also injuries have had a lot to do with it. But yeah, you look at that, that's a good comparison because it was so hard to officiate him, especially considering the players were, some people thought players were taking cheap shots at Cam Newton but that's just, he's just a violent player and a violent runner that defensive players had to just grab whatever they could just to take him down. I think that's a really good comparison, just comparing him to Shaq there.
You've been around Cam Newton. You've been around the team covering the Panthers. Last year, I had an opportunity to interview Mike Adams here on the show, former safety for the Panthers, and I asked him about Cam Newton, and he said there are two misconceptions about Cam. He said, number one, this man is a fierce leader. This man has the respect of the locker room. And number two, if you believe that Cam Newton is healthy, you're completely wrong. He's not even close to being healthy. That was last year before Super Bowl 53 when we had Mike Adams on the show. So when you go back and you look at the way things have gone over the last 3 years in Carolina, does that appear to you to be both extremely accurate statements in regards to Cam?
Yeah, I think so. Here's the thing. His teammates love him. He's a really polarizing figure. Not just with Panther fans, just around the NFL, because the way he dresses, he's very flamboyant. Some people may call him a diva. I know people remember him after the Super Bowl and the loss to the Broncos, where he didn't want to talk to the media. And a lot of people have been, you know, kind of criticizing him ever since there. And he's a guy that doesn't like to lose. And, I mean, you kind of want people like that. He can handle it, I'm sure, a lot better than what he has in the past. But you definitely want people that are driven winners. And I think he just gets criticized for that too often. But, yeah, he clearly hasn't been the same guy that he has been in years past. I remember 2018, at the beginning of the year, he started running really well, especially on the Noah Turner's offense. But he ended up suffering that shoulder surgery in the primetime game against the Steelers and really hadn't been the same since. He played against the Rams and the Buccaneers the first two games of the 2019 season. But I don't know if it was the injury or just whatever the case may be, or the shoulder, the foot. But he just definitely did not look like the same quarterback that we're accustomed to seeing. Whether he didn't want to run, really. His passes were really off as far as accuracy. And, yeah, I think that's why I think a rehab situation potentially backing up will, one, give him an opportunity to get completely healthy for a year. So, again, talk about Randall Cunningham. He kind of did the same thing when he went to Minnesota and kind of backed up Brad Johnson for a little bit before taking over for that 1998 team, and he got completely healthy. So I definitely think that'd be in Cam Newton's best interest there, and also potentially, you know, showing that he can be a backup and be a team player in that sense as well, sort of what Ryan Tannehill did with the Titans last year.
Again, our guest right now was Antoine Staley. We're talking about the Cam Newton situation. So I guess now the million-dollar question, where does he land? We knew this would be an issue going into free agency. There are more quarterbacks out there than jobs available. In fact, there's a very viable option at quarterback right now for a team that would be looking in Jameis Winston. I still believe Jameis Winston has a lot of great football left in him. Okay, so with that being said, you have Jameis, you have Cam Newton, and there's not a whole lot of jobs left. Where does Cam Newton end up?
That's a good question. I think the short answer is I'm not sure. You look at potential situations. I don't know if you say the Chargers, but they've been committed to Tyrod Taylor. And remember, they have the number six pick in the draft. So I think them, like the Dolphins, who another team people kind of looked at, are going to stick with their veteran quarterbacks that they already have on their roster, and they're going to draft the guy early in the first round. So I don't think those are options there. New England reports just said they're not really interested in Cam Newton. I definitely think I thought that might be a potential spot for there if Cam wanted to play for a little bit less money. And so now you're kind of looking at potential backup situations. Jacksonville, I know they have Gardner Minshew there, you know, playing really well last year in place of Nick Foles. He's going to be the starter at least going in, but he has a small track record. His body of work isn't very long, especially him being a rookie last year. So, and you have Doug Marrone there on the hot seat there and their general manager in the front office. So let's just say Minshew were to struggle, you at least have somebody, a backup plan, and Cam Newton come in and potentially maybe save your season and save your job too in the process. So I definitely think Jacksonville will be an option for either Jameis or Cam Newton, to be honest with you. So I think there, Denver, maybe. I know they're looking for, John Elway has said Drew Lock is the starter there, but then they're looking for a veteran quarterback, especially with Joe Flacco no longer being there. So, I mean, looking at it right now, those would probably be the two options I would look at, just simply because they have young quarterbacks there. Beyond that, I really can't see too many other options unless they would be just comfortable just being a clear backup at least for a year and maybe trying to get in 2021.
Is it possible that Cam doesn't play this upcoming season?
I mean, if he feels like he doesn't want to be a backup anywhere, I think definitely think it is. But he seems, you talk him looking at his Instagram videos, and he seems motivated to, one, prove the Panthers wrong, and two, to get back out there on the football field. I'm sure he is. But I think a lot of teams are really down on him just simply because of his injury history. And he's almost 31 years. He's only 30 years old at the moment. He'll be 31 in May. And he's taken a lot of hits throughout his time and suffered a lot of injuries. And I think a lot of teams don't know how much of a shell life he has left in the league.
Well, let's move away from Cam Newton. Another quarterback I just mentioned a moment ago, Jameis Winston. And again, Jameis put up some impressive numbers last year. I know he threw a lot of interceptions, but the fact of the matter is when he threw the ball as often as Tampa Bay did downfield, that's going to happen. I don't know if you can necessarily look at that and say it's a complete black mark towards Jameis Winston. I thought he showed some promise at times last year, yet here he is, still available now on the free agent market. Where does Jameis go? Maybe Jacksonville?
I think Jacksonville would probably be better for him. You looked at the optics of it. I mean, he played at Florida State, and there's a ton of Florida State alumni that are Jaguars fans, especially in that area. So I'm sure they would be very excited if Jameis Winston were to join the Jacksonville Jaguars, especially to stay there in Florida. So, yeah, I definitely think that would be a good spot for him. If New England wanted to go in that route, I definitely think that would be good. I know Bill Belichick loves to revitalize players' careers, and why not go after a guy who I thought was very talented. I know a lot of people take criticism and think Tom Brady may be an upgrade, and he might be, especially experience-wise, because Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. But Jameis did some good things last year, throwing over 30 touchdowns, finished over 5,000 yards passing there. So I think he gets criticized far too often with everything that went wrong with Tampa last year. It certainly wasn't all his fault. A lot of it was, but not everything was his fault. So I definitely think he has a lot of football left and will be a starter at some point. Maybe not initially, but also kind of like what Cam Newton's going to have to go through, just kind of sit for a little while and then end up taking over for somebody.
You know, we can end with this. We'll jump back over to the Carolina Panthers. They have given Robbie Anderson a $12 million deal. They're going to land him. To me, this is a big signing for Carolina. We had a conversation about Robbie Anderson on the show yesterday. I ranked him top three as far as NFL free agents that were still available. I didn't know if he would have to take a one-year show-me deal with the Jets. It appeared yesterday that that might have been his best option. But no, here he is. He ends up landing with the Carolina Panthers, and again, a team that you cover. So this is big news for this squad.
Yeah, I thought this would probably be an option just because of Matt Rhule and his relationship with Robbie Anderson. They both go back. Rhule was the head coach at Temple while Anderson was there. So they definitely have a relationship there. And it seems like Rhule is bringing over a lot of people that either he coached at Temple or Baylor. So I definitely think, and the Panthers definitely need another wide receiver complement. That's the DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. And I definitely think getting a playmaker like Robbie Anderson will definitely help with Teddy Bridgewater, to be completely honest. Somebody that did a good job with the Saints when Drew Brees went out last year, and definitely somebody that can stretch the field as well. So yeah, I definitely think it's a big time signing for the Panthers there. And it's funny, they just kind of came out as soon as the Cam Newton news came out there. So I'm sure it wasn't by accident.
No, not at all. And I'd have to look at the logistics of this contract, but I'll tell you, if you're a Panther fan, one thing to get excited about it is a front-loaded deal. So he's going to get $12 million in year one, but it's a two-year, $20 million deal. If it turns out that you get Robbie Anderson for $7 or $8 million next season, could be a heck of a bargain on the market.
Yeah, I definitely think that's kind of what they did with the Bridgewater deal as well. It's very front-loaded. So if things don't work out by year two, they could definitely get from under it and just kind of move on there, especially considering a lot of people think the Panthers are going to be very bad this year, and they probably will. I don't think there's going to be a team, especially looking at NFC South, that's going to contend with the where you look at the Saints there. I know everybody was talking about Tampa with Tom Brady, but the Falcons also look pretty formidable there as well. It's going to be a tough division. And the Panthers, they're definitely going to have they're going to have a time trying to compete in that division with those three other teams.
Antoine Staley, again of Athlon Sports, taking out the time to join us on the show today. Antoine, it's always fun to get you on. I know we'll have plenty more to talk about in the coming weeks, especially with the NFL draft on the horizon. Before I let you go, let them know where you can find more of your work, more of Antoine Staley.
You can find me at Antoine Staley at Twitter, and also find me at Athlon Sports there as well.
Antoine, it's always fun. Thank you again for the time.
Yes, sir.
We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. I'm a big fantasy baseball guy. And we just had our fantasy baseball auction draft over the weekend. Doesn't do you any good because we don't know when we're going to get baseball, right? Do you have the itch for baseball, fantasy baseball, just something associated with the game? We're going to talk about something that you can do. It's called Out of the Park 21. I don't know if you've heard of this baseball game, but it's fantasy baseball on steroids. And we're going to be joined by the COO of the company that produces Out of the Park Baseball when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Feeling like a bullet,
jumping out of gun. We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. If you're like me, you got the itch for baseball. In fact, the Dodgers season opener was supposed to take place this Thursday, and if you've listened to the show enough, you understand I'm a bit of a Dodger homer. Unfortunately, we're not going to get any baseball this week, but hopefully we can scratch that itch for baseball. We're going to talk about Out of the Park Baseball 21. Now, this is a game that really puts you right in the middle of it. It's a strategic game. It's not a game where you have to be great with your fingers and pushing X and square and zero and triangle. It's a game about strategy. And joining us right now to talk about that, we have COO Richard Grisham, who has been with Out of the Park Baseball for 5 years. And Richard, it's a pleasure to get you on. I'm really looking forward to today's conversation. Thank you for the time.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much. It's very, very exciting to talk to you.
Well, let's talk about what Out of the Park Baseball really is. And I know the 21, that stands for 21 different versions of this game. So I'm going to let you kind of explain to us what exactly we get with Out of the Park Baseball.
Sure. Out of the Park Baseball 21 is a baseball strategy game. So, you know, back in the old days, if you're, you know, some of my age, you might remember something called like Strat-O-Matic baseball or something, right? Where it was about putting together lineups and pitching rotations and trying to be smart about how you manage a team. Well, Out of the Park Baseball 21 is that, except it's about a million times more. So you run an entire baseball franchise, and these are real Major League Baseball franchises in the entire organization, not just the big league club, but the minor leagues as well. And you're in charge of trades and free agency and the roster development and player development and finances and scouting and drafting and all of those kind of things. And you know, if you're the New York Yankees, right, you've probably got a lot more resources than if you're the Tampa Bay Rays or something like that. So everything that you can do if you're a real general manager in the world of baseball, you can do an Out of the Park Baseball 21. And it's not only for the upcoming 2020 season as it was meant supposed to be. We also have the entire history of baseball. Every season, every team, every player who has ever played major or minor league baseball is in our game, and you can play from any time ever in the entire history of the sport.
So, Richard, let me ask you, when the season comes to an end, so you navigate a team throughout the entire season, when that season comes to an end, is the game over and you just restart, or can you continue on and on and on?
Oh, no, you can continue on and on and on. A lot of people love to play 20, 30, 40, 50 years into the future. And depending upon how you set it up, right, if you can have it set up to where the league will sort of dynamically expand or change or modify, or you can lock it into how it is now. You know, you have all sorts of opportunities. But, yes, this is a strategy management game. It's never just about one season. It's about taking over a franchise and planning for the future and trying to win as many championships as you can, and trying to position yourself for the most success possible over the course of however long that you want to play.
See, I think this is the ultimate as far as fantasy baseball nerds go, and here's my reasoning for it. Look, when you draft a fantasy baseball team, your draft is only as good as these players perform in real time, right? And so somebody's skill set, will say on a lesser team, maybe a middle reliever on a team, it's kind of based around what the rest of the rotation is doing for him, right? So in fantasy sports, it takes away one of those elements. Now also, I guess, in just talking to you for a few moments, one of the things I love about, say, NBA 2K or MLB The Show or Madden, I never actually play the game, Richard. I always go to franchise mode. I try to build a team and I simulate it. I'm weird like that. It drives my wife crazy. I'll pay $50 for a video game, and I never even play the game. I just go into the management mode. This is management mode, but it's a little bit more detailed.
Well, I hesitate to say it, but it's a lot more detailed. There is so much going on in Out of the Park Baseball. Again, we're talking drafting, free agency, trades, player development, scouting. You don't just have the Major League club. You've got the AAA, the AA, all the single A's, the rookie leagues, the Arizona Fall Leagues. You've got international players, right? So you have... There is so much that you can do, and you can decide how to build your team, right? Do you want to build it for speed and defense? Do you want to build it for big boppers? Do you want to build a brand new ballpark for your stadium in your own image, however you want? Do you want your own green monster? Do you want a deep power alley, right? Every possible angle of every franchise is there. And by the way, people in the game play Out of the Park Baseball, and they don't just play it for fun. They use it for their own scouting and for their own for their own abilities to sort of keep up, because we have all the real players from the highest levels down to the lowest levels as well. So there's really nothing that you can't do when it comes to running an organization. So if you like running a team at the simulation level, this game is definitely for you.
Again, our guest right now is Richard Grisham. Again, I'm hoping that we can scratch that baseball itch and give you an opportunity to do something outside of fantasy baseball, which you can't even play right now because there's no games going on. Of course, we're talking about Out of the Park Baseball 21. Richard, when you talk about the level of detail that goes into this specific game, and the knowledge base that you guys put into it, I love that aspect of sports in general. So what are some of the steps that you guys take to create the ultimate game and the attention to detail?
Well, we've been making the game for 21 years, so we've spent a lot of time perfecting, you know, the strategy and the simulation engine. Every single year, we go on MLB Network at the beginning of the season, and we give our predictions based upon our process for determining that. Last year, wouldn't you know it, live on MLB Network in March, we predicted that the Washington Nationals would defeat the Houston Astros in the World Series, and that's exactly what happened. And 2 years before that, this is all on TV and it's in our trailers. we properly called the Red Sox to win the 2018 World Series and the Astros to win the 2017 World Series. So we have a really powerful engine that has proven itself over time to be accurate. So we take that, and then we combine with incredible research department that puts all of the different players together in ratings, and we use both services that we subscribe to, as well as our own scouts and roster people. And we scour not just the North American market, but also, the Korean markets, the Japanese markets, the Latin American markets. We make sure that we have as much accurate information up and down baseball. And, it's a full-time, year-round effort, and we employ all sorts of different people and services to make that happen. So you combine all of that data with that strategy engine, and that sort of yields what you have in out-of-the-park baseball 21.
What's the most unique feature of this game, at least in your mind? Maybe a specific aspect that you look at and you say, yes, this is what I love so much about it?
Well, I'll tell you, this year in particular, we spent a lot more time on scouting and drafting, right? Because if you recall, 10, 15, 20 years ago, the Major League Baseball draft was not a big deal. But the last few years, it's on television, and there's just tremendous, there's a lot more attention being paid to it. So we, in the last couple of years, have spent a lot more time making sure that the scouting and the draft is really up to snuff. And so right now, if you go into the draft, and we have mock drafts, and we have all sorts of different rating services that will provide that information for you, and you got a whole lot of information in front of your fingertips, and then it's up to you running the organization to make a really good draft. We know how important the draft is. If you have a couple of bad drafts, your team is going to be in trouble for a long time. So that's one of the big things. And the other thing is, I think this year that stands out is the All-Star Weekend. The last couple of years, we've been privileged to go to the Major League Baseball All-Star Weekend and represent out-of-the-park baseball there. And it's one of the most fun experiences I've ever had in my life. And we realized that the All-Star Weekend didn't really capture the spirit and the joy the All-Star Game, so we added the Prospects Game, and we added the Home Run Derby to the game, as well as the All-Star Game, which was already there, to make it much more of a celebration and involve our fans more. So those are just a couple of examples of cool things that we've added this year to the new game that I think stand out.
I know that fantasy baseball seems to get bigger, fantasy sports in general seem to get bigger and bigger each year. So with that being said, how much of a popularity increase have you seen with fantasy sports? Because to me, this is something that I believe I would enjoy just as much, as if not more, than fantasy sports, because again, of the elements and the variables that kind of hamper fantasy sports. How much of a popularity increase have you seen over the course of the fantasy craze?
Well, we definitely have seen a significant increase in the number of people playing our game and interacting with our game. We've seen our daily active users, at the industry term, but it's a term that means how many people are playing your game right now. We've seen those numbers increase steadily over the last few years. We have certainly seen a number of fantasy sites take an interest in our game and sort of use it to try to help them predict what's going to happen this year and pick their players. So it's not really, it's very complementary to the fantasy industry, because again, when you combine sort of our data and our engine, and you run through a simulation 5, 10, 15, 20 times, you can get a pretty good idea as to what kind of things might happen. So we've definitely seen an increase in overall player use. Now, can we attribute a certain percentage to the rise of fantasy? Not specifically, but we definitely know that trend is there, and we can definitely attribute some of it to the ties of people who love fantasy baseball, who have discovered Out of the Park Baseball 21, and who really love that too.
Well, Richard, I got to ask you, as far as the simulations are concerned, and again, you mentioned last year the Washington Nationals, the year before the Boston Red Sox, and the year before that the Houston Astros. Can you give me a glimpse? What's going to happen in 2020?
Well, we have not yet run our simulations. We were planning on, we had scheduled to actually be on MLB Network today to unveil our predictions, but obviously with everything happening in the world, that is not going on. So we're waiting to see what the baseball landscape is going to look like. But I can tell you this. I know for one thing, Out of the Park Baseball 21 loves the Dodgers.
Thank you.
If you're a Dodgers fan, you can certainly expect that you're gonna be winning a lot in Out of the Park Baseball 21. There's no doubt about that.
I've waited my entire life for a World Series championship, and so, Richard, that's music to my ears. I appreciate that.
You got it, my friend.
Before I let you go, Richard, go ahead and let everybody know how they can get a hold of Out of the Park Baseball 21. I know it's all web-based. I mean, you don't have to go to the store and physically purchase anything.
Actually, no, it is a download. So it's a downloadable game because it's kind of a big game. It's for PCs and for Macs, right? So if you got a computer, it's for you. And you can get it. The easiest thing to do is just to Google Out of the Park Baseball 21. You can get it. If you're a PC gamer, you know what Steam is. You can get it right from Steam. Or you can get it directly from our website, ootpdevelopments.com. And you buy it, and you just download it directly onto your computer, and you can have it on as many computers as you want. And that's how you get it. So just Google Out of the Park Baseball 21 and go from there.
Richard Grissom, such a pleasure to get you on the show today. I really appreciate the time and the talk about baseball. I know we're a little starved for it right now, so it's exactly what we needed, and I look forward to playing the game relatively soon. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having us on. I appreciate it. Everybody stay safe out there. Thank you.
That's Richard Grissom talking about Out of the Park Baseball 21. I'm excited to play this tonight. I'm looking forward to it. I love the strategery of games like this. I don't really get into playing the video game itself. I typically just do the franchise mode and sign free agents, make trades, learn the cap. That's what I like to do. This is definitely going to be fun. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return.
Hi, folks, I'm Bob Barker, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Now remember, help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Set to put the final touches on this edition of the show. I'm going to bring in Travis Anderson to help me close it out. This is the type of sports talk, I guess, we're regulated to at this particular moment.
Kind of pointless talk right now?
Maybe. If we want to talk about things that have happened on this day in history, you go back 19 years ago, Randy Johnson obliterates a bird with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. It's one of those highlights that it never gets old watching it, and it's nothing against the bird. I know that PETA doesn't find it very funny. I find it astonishing. I find it amazing that a pitcher on the mound could blast a bird with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. It's amazing. And I know Randy Johnson doesn't like to talk about it because it became a very serious moment for him.
He got in trouble a little bit.
He nearly did. PETA was going to sue him.
Yeah, and it's no fault of his own. I mean, he's out there. He throws a baseball. The bird, you know, at the same time comes in contact with the baseball. The rest is history.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. PETA was actually going to press charges against Randy Johnson. Here's a clip of Randy Johnson talking about the moment.
A blur going across home plate, the ball simultaneously hitting that blur. When PETA called me, and I was considered a bird killer, and they were actually considering filing charges on the bird's behalf. I had to hire a lawyer. It was one of those things. What became kind of funny actually became a very serious moment. But everybody that wants to talk about baseball first talks about the bird. It's crazy. If I could go back in time, I would never thrown that pitch. I don't want to talk about that, the bird.
Yeah, it's one of those instances, one of those highlights that whenever it pops on, I have to see it. I'll tell you, one of the guys that was probably the most tasteless Jeff Kent, during the incident, he ran over and picked him up. There's a picture. I call it tasteless, and I laugh at it. Picture of Jeff Kent holding that bird. There's no feathers left on that thing.
I mean, the feathers all went, you know, behind the plate. And you can see the catcher, he gets up real quick because he doesn't know what the heck's going on.
Nobody did.
Yeah, no.
Nobody did. It was a meaningless spring training game between the Diamondbacks and the Giants. And it has one of those instances that we're going to be talking about forever. As Randy Johnson said, he doesn't like to talk about it. Hall of Fame career. He's one of the best to ever do it. And people want to talk about the bird. The reason people want to talk about the bird is because we've never seen anything like it, and we will never see it again. It's so far-fetched that Pedro Serrano hit a bird in Major League 2 with a baseball as he took a shot to right field. Like, that's how ridiculously outlandish that story would be. It was in a PG baseball movie, right? That's how outlandish it is. But it really happened. He hit this bird on the mound. That's what's so astonishing about it. And look, I'd be lying to you if I say I didn't laugh. I don't laugh when I see this from time to time. If you haven't seen it in a while, I'm going to put a little mini documentary up on the Drive Time Sports Facebook page. Again, that's Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM. Check us out on Facebook. We post all the local sports info. I'm going to post this video there as well so you can see Randy Johnson Clock the Bird if you haven't seen it in a little while. I want to thank Richard Grissom for joining us on the show today to talk about Out of the Park Baseball. Have you played it yet?
No, but I'm going to.
Yeah, look, I love fantasy baseball more so than fantasy basketball or fantasy football. And you can have your fantasy drafts all you want. It doesn't do you any good right now because you don't have anything to score off of. Out of the Park Baseball will scratch that itch. I'm going to plug it in. I shouldn't say plug it in. I'm going to download it and play it tonight. It's probably one of those games that will be highly addicting because it seems like it's fantasy baseball on steroids. We do have some great guests lined up a little bit later on in the week. Wade Phillips, former Ram defensive coordinator, of course won a Super Bowl as the DC of the Denver Broncos, head coach in the league for several years, definitely been around the game for a very long time. He's been around the game longer than Sean McVay's been alive. Think about that. We're going to be joined by Wade Phillips later on in the week. And if you're a UFC guy, Michael Bisping will join us as well. So we have some great guests lined up. The sports talk will continue right here on Drive Time Sports from 4 to 5 p.m. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.